Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Evelise, a.k.a. La Sicaria, a.k.a. the baddest bitch in the building from Lucha Underground, and you're listening to the Oversell Wrestling Podcast.
It is episode 59, and we are talking all things professional wrestling. Get ready. This is the Oversell Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Oversell Podcast. My name is Derek.
I'm Dan.
And we are here to talk some professional wrestling. Be sure you're following us on Twitter. We are at Oversell Podcast, facebook.com/Oversell Podcast. And I am at Derek Oversell, DerickOversell.
I am at One Dangerous Dan.
Are you trying to kill me there?
All spelled out. Oh, is that your...
that was mine. That's your... You almost blew out my ear turning up the volume.
My bad. I was looking for mine.
You cranked up 10. I heard myself. I
was wondering what the problem was. I've been gone for a while, okay? I'm trying to find which volume control is mine for the headphones.
I got to say, it is good to have you back.
Holy crap.
In studio here at Oversell Studios.
All right,
Studios,
so where were we?
In Bartlett, Tennessee.
At One Dangerous Dan, all spelled out, and I'm on Facebook, Dangerous Dan Matthews. There we go.
Great.
Finally got it out.
And you almost killed me in the process.
I almost made you deaf in the process.
Well, I will say it is good to have you back in studio. You know, over the
Glad
phone is all
here.
Right. It was good to talk to you again, but it's good to have you back.
Good to have the real thing.
Yes, and you are, in fact, the real thing.
Yes.
So we got a lot to talk about, man. Did you get to see Raw last night?
No, I did not. You know, I'm back in town, so I don't have cable again.
Ah. Well,
I did see, you know, the reports off of the Spotlight on Facebook and everything, which, you know, that's what I use to, you know, get my Raw results when I'm not anywhere near a television without cable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Spotlight, you know, they do pretty good reporting the Raw results and the SmackDown results and stuff like that. So,
you know, sometimes predictability is all right.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it is not. Now, when you put John Cena in a match against Seth Rollins for a spot to make a fatal four-way or a fatal five-way,
mm-hmm.
and instantly you see the club interfere in that match and cost John Cena the match,
mm-hmm.
what do you think is going to happen when AJ has his match against Dean Ambrose?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, they're filling their program. You know, I can't slide them for their booking, you know. They're filling their program, you know, and it's just old school booking. That's old. That's the oldest school booking and tricking, you know, I've seen on the Raw in forever. You know, they're trying to do new school booking and stuff like that and pull stuff out of the air and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That angle that I saw, you know, the interference from AJ and the club and the. And then Cena interfering in his match and everything.
Distracting him.
Yeah,
and
you know, that's the oldest booking trick, you know, that you could buy. One of the oldest booking tricks, you know, in the book. So, you know, it's, you know, and, you know, I can't fault them for it. It's pro wrestling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going back to old school pro wrestling, which is great. I love to see old school booking tricks in, you know, in the new school era, you know.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
But at the same time, you're right. Predictability is sometimes a bad thing.
What do you think about what they're doing with the Wyatts and New Day?
I want to see where this goes because Xavier being, you know, spooked or whatever's happening there, you know, it's noticeable. So, you know, something's going to happen there. Now, I have seen a couple of Facebook posts where, you know, people would be like, you know, would you mark out if Xavier Woods joined Bray Wyatt's group, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting because when New Day interrupted Bray Wyatt a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
he was kind of started to just walk to the ring beside himself, and he didn't do his old WWE mm-hmm. world. You know, he didn't do that thing, and then he kind of got shaken back into thing. But there's something about him kind of being drawn to the Wyatt's family, and it's kind of cool that they're giving Wyatt, to me at least, they're giving Wyatt a little bit of that supernatural
edge. Supernatural power, yeah.
To kind of hypnotize or something like that.
I like that. You know, just, you know, we all know it's, you know, it's storyline, it's whatever. But you know, let's escape from reality every now and then.
I mean,
you know?
It's television.
It's television. You know, let me escape from reality every now and then. And if you do it in a certain way, I'll go for it. You know, and they're doing it in a good way. I think it'll be cool.
One of the best free agent pickups I think the WWE has made in the past few years has been AJ Styles.
Oh yeah,
he has done nothing but kill it.
Oh yeah,
since he's joined the WWE, I mean he has not had one bad match yet.
Ask that guy to do something, and he'll go over the top with it every time. You know, which if you're a pro wrestler, that's what you do on a nightly basis. You know, you take whatever you're given, you make it your own, you knock it out of the park, and that's exactly what he does every night. So.
I thought it was interesting on Raw this week. They opened up with Seth Rollins cutting a promo about Roman Reigns' suspension.
Yes, I did see that they were mentioning the suspension, which they never do.
Right, right. What are your thoughts on that?
Thoughts on them mentioning the suspension?
Yeah, them playing it into the angle.
Well, they're going to have to say something about it. You know, especially if they're going to keep him in that main event. You know,
yeah,
which. I'd be pissed if I was past wrestlers who, you know, got tagged for a wellness violation. Because how many main events have we seen change over the years because of wellness violations?
Right.
How many titles have we seen dropped? Mm-hmm. How many, you know, people have we seen suspended for 30, 60, 90 days? You know, how many careers have we seen squashed in an instant by a wellness violation? You know? And then all of a sudden, Roman Reigns... Your WWE champion gets hit with a wellness violation. He gets suspended for 30 days. Oh, but he's still in the main event at the next pay-per-view. We won't take that away from him. He's still in the main event of the next pay-per-view. To me, that's bullshit.
It really is. What is worse, that happening or what they did with Orton where they kind of created a rule so they wouldn't be forced to release him? Because that's the rumor, right, that they kind of created a rule like you can get a strike knocked off.
Yeah, I'm not sure, you know, because their favorability in that is just so rampant, you know, and it's so blatantly obvious that, you know, some guys are favored over others, you know, because let me tell you something, if it was anybody else but Roman Reigns at this point that had gotten tagged with that wellness violation, you wouldn't have seen them for 3 months.
Right, or... ever, like, you'll probably never see Adam Rose again in the WWE.
Oh, hell no. You probably will never see him again.
George in the chat room says, AJ's been so good, he killed the Balor Club, which they dropped their...
They let that trademark drop.
On the Balor Club, so it's interesting. Maybe they're just going to keep those three together.
Yeah.
Brand split's coming, and it's going to be crazy, I think, and we're going to actually be watching the first live SmackDown where they do the draft, so we'll have to do some draft coverage.
I think Balor... I think Balor is working everybody on Twitter, you know, because he's constantly posting pictures of him at Raw or, you know, Raw set.
He is a troll.
You know? And then he deletes it. Like 5 minutes later, he'll delete something, you know. So, I mean, like, he is so working the Twitter universe right now, you know, it's hilarious, you know. So, but, you know, of course, you know, everybody's going to mark out when he hits that ring on a Raw. So.
Right, and I think they're going to be filming, and I never watch NXT spoilers because I respect NXT that much, but Finn Balor, I think they've already started, or they've already recorded, or they have a taping coming up for Finn Balor versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, wow.
Let's see, Shinsuke and Nakamura.
I did see a picture of both Shinsuke and Balor in the ring doing the Shinsuke pose, you know, where he's, you know, doing the arched back and everything all the way down to the mat. And I think that was a tag match that they were in together as a team against another team. But that was like one of the featured pictures of... on the spotlight and everything, so thought that was pretty cool.
NXT General Manager William Regal has officially announced the Finn Balor versus Shinsuke Nakamura match for July 13th.
Ooh.
That is going to be a very exciting match to watch. Have you seen the pictures of him getting ready for the CWC with Tajiri?
Shinsuke?
No, I'm sorry, Regal.
Regal. Oh, I have not.
Yeah.
I saw the pictures of him, you know, I think they were on their knees on the mat or something, you know, and Regal had a questionable look on his face or something.
George says they taped it last week. People say it felt like a goodbye for one of them. And if it's going to be a goodbye for one of them, it's Finn, because I think they need Shinsuke as a name down there in NXT for a while.
Yeah.
While they can build some more stars up. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how other things go with this brand split here in, what, 3 weeks from today.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting. And that's going to be the first live SmackDown, right?
Yep. And we're going to have to have it on the TV.
We're going to have to have it on the TV.
Maybe we can do a draft analysis. This guy is strong at the attack. He is. Well, you know, we'll go straight up John Gruden style.
Yeah.
But it's really exciting. There's a lot of exciting news coming up. We've got the brand split. We've got the Cruiserweight Classic, which we can talk about in a little bit. Maybe we'll predict the final four, the final two, and the winner. I want to talk about the Battle of Los Angeles card. I want to talk, you know, more WWE stuff. There's a 4th of July show for Wildfire Wrestling coming up. There's a lot. But before we get there, let's talk a little bit about www.oversellpodcast.com. Go there. There's a main player right there. You can listen to all of our episodes right there, middle of the page. While you're listening, click that Amazon link right beneath it and do your shopping on Amazon right there. There's no extra fees. There's no hidden fees or anything like that. It's just you helping out this podcast by shopping on Amazon. So go do it. Shop till you drop.
Kill yourself shopping stuff. Yeah, buy stuff. Clear out your bank account.
But anyway, yeah, so other stuff from Raw. The Miz came back, who got no reaction. I mean, it was like, yeah, great. At least, I mean, no reaction.
I really
at all.
Hope that doesn't go stagnant and stale. I hope him and Maurice together don't go stagnant and stale, you know. And he, of course, you know, I think he helped her to the back after she hurt her leg or something.
Yeah, yep.
And then
it was an act.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, they could have done something more special with him, whoever was going to face him for the Intercontinental title that night, and end up being Demon Kane.
Yeah, yeah.
I think George said them perfectly, like, yeah, way to let us down again, WWE. That's what George said on Twitter.
They could have had a one night off on an NXT guy or anything happen. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, looks like I think their feud is going to be wrapping up here soon.
That's going to be a go-to feud for a long time. Either one of those guys aren't doing anything.
Yeah, I think they're going to move each other on to different things after this match.
They'll move on, but they'll always come back to one another.
But I did like what they did with Jericho. You know, he was kind of stoking the fire for those two to fight, and eventually they just both got rid of him for a little bit.
Yep.
But it's an exciting feud. I don't think it's gotten stale yet, just because those guys work so well together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be Sami Zayn. George said it best. Sami Zayn's promo was the highlight of the night. He had a very good promo. But I'm hoping that after this, they could take a little break from those two so we don't get a Corbin Ziggler flute. I can't talk. I promise I can talk. Feud. So, because I'm really over Ziggler and Corbin.
Yeah, I'm over that one. I'm over that one myself, too. That's, you know. I watched the Money in the Bank ladder match and the end result of the night, probably the last 10, 20 minutes of the pay-per-view and everything. But I was watching highlights from Corbin and Ziggler, and that was a good match. You can't take anything away from what they did and everything, but still, there's only so many times two guys can face one another, and you've done everything you can do, you know. So it's kind of that feud's kind of getting stale. They need to move Corbin on, and they need to move Ziggler on as well.
Nadia Hunter in our chat room says, "I don't really like watching Sammy fight unless it's against Owens." That's an interesting thought. I think he's had great matches since he's been in the WWE. The program he had with Cesaro in NXT, he came out and separated his shoulder, then had a 4-star match with John Cena right after it.
Exactly.
I mean, I enjoy watching Sami Zayn. He's a very energetic
That match he
guy.
Had where he won the title from Neville.
Yeah.
The NXT title from Neville.
Yeah,
that was an emotional match. That, you know, every emotion poured out of him in that match. That was great.
Tatum 32 our buddy Will Tatum asked, do y'all like Cesaro's entrance?
It's different.
I like it more than him just coming out and doing the 50 cal guns or whatever you want to call the entrance where he would boo. Mm-hmm. I like it. I think it's something cool to finally the tearaway suits and
yeah.
Stuff like
if
that.
You notice, there was kind of like a 007 right. spotlight that follows
like,
him across.
LED they're blatantly,
thing, you know, yeah.
They're blatantly stealing that.
Oh yeah.
Let's see. So
which that was Dean Malenko's gimmick for a while. He was kind of a 007 gimmick before he turned into like the ladies' man or whatever it was, you know.
Hmm.
So thought that was pretty funny though.
Oh, I remember those days.
Yes.
I remember that night where him and Lita were in the hotel and they turn off the lights, turn back on the Hardy Bar.
Yep.
And that was your guy too.
Yep, that was my guy. That was my guy. You know, I got to looking through the other day, you know, and through the WCW Nitros on the network, right? And I'm just cycling through and I'm reading what's on every one of them and everything. And all of a sudden I see Bret Hart versus Dean Malenko. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got to watch this, you know. And at the time, I think the Four Horsemen were in a feud with the NWO or somebody else. And Malenko, of course, was a Four Horseman. And his leg was injured. So he's hobbling to the ring with an injured leg to face Bret Hart and everything. Still was a phenomenal match. Absolutely phenomenal match. But I would love to see, like, the two evenly matched, you know, where he's not trying to sell the leg or whatever, you know. And, of course, it ends up in, like, a DQ because Bret was heel at the time. You know, he was healing it out at the time and everything. So he was trying to, you know, get everybody, you know, booing him and everything. So I think he ended up trying to take a chair to Malenko or something. And then, like, Diamond Dallas Page came in and saved Malenko.
Mm-hmm.
So, but little gems like that on the network. You know, guys you never thought you'd see, you know, face each other, you know. Malenko. Bret Hart, you know, I would love to see those two wrestle, you know, with him not trying to sell an injury. So,
let's see, George, outside of his feud with Owens and being the former gatekeeper NXT, what is Zayn's character? I think he is a crowd favorite. You know, he's a guy, he's kind of, he's a laid back character, right?
I don't think he needs a character.
He's being himself.
You know, he's so well known to the universe at this point.
Right.
He doesn't even really need a character. Everybody knows he's a great wrestler.
Yep.
That's all that they need to know about
and
him.
And they can chant along with his music.
Yep.
That's
they can chant along with his music, and he still gets the ole, ole, ole chants.
Yep. And he's just coming in and putting on incredible matches. And you know, when we're talking about different matches, you know, he had that match with Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's probably the match of the year for me.
Yeah.
Did you, speaking of match of the year, let's go ahead and talk about this. Did you see what Rev Pro booked? Rev UK Pro.
Refresh my memory.
This is going to be the first, probably, feud where Twitter...
Oh, you're talking about Vader and Ospreay.
Yes.
Yes.
Vader.
I did see that.
Vader may try to kill this guy.
And, you know.
And if he gets his hands on him, he could.
Well, Vader is slow moving as it is, you know. Ospreay may give him the benefit of the doubt, but if I was Ospreay, I wouldn't give him too much of the benefit of the doubt.
You know, the psychology of this match actually is pretty cool because... you're gonna, you know, he's gonna have to hit and run, quick hit. So
yeah.
It's gonna. So,
but I tell you, I don't think Vader's got much left in the tank. To tell you the truth, you know, the stuff that I've seen on the network lately, he did Table for Three. I think it was him, Paige, and Sting.
Mm-hmm.
They did a Table for Three together. Vader was looking rough.
Well, you see that, and then you see a picture of him that he puts on Twitter after working out, and he still has the same build. He's just a big guy.
Yeah. Well, if you knock a brick wall down, it's not going to get back up.
Well, did you see that Scott Hall, what he said about it?
No, I
Vader goes and bitches on Twitter and gets a big payday with Rev Pro.
Oh, yeah.
What do I have to do to get the Young Bucks?
Yeah.
But that's going to be interesting to see how that match goes. Rev Pro puts on a hell of a product. You know, Shinsuke Nakamura has done a lot of work with them. Zack Sabre Jr. Zack Sabre Jr. and Kurt Angle had a match.
I heard about that one. They said it was short, but it was awesome.
Oh, my God. Watch the end of it and just watch the wrestling going on. And yeah. It's incredible.
I don't know. I think we're getting trolled on Kurt Angle, too, because, you know, there's like an official that got in touch with Meltzer. What's the
Meltzer.
Guy's name? Meltzer. Okay.
Dave Meltzer.
That specifically said they will not have Angle back, you know, which – I don't know why they wouldn't have Angle back.
I think they're planning on bringing him back, but if he opened his mouth.
Yeah, they may want it to be a surprise, you know.
Which, maybe, that would be awesome.
I'd love to see him come back at a Rumble. If his music hit at a Rumble, the roof would blow off the joint.
I want to see him involved with American Alpha.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
Would be the best thing for him to come in.
Yeah.
That music hits, and Kurt Angle comes out, and he's like, I've been teaching my three eyes to two gentlemen here, and here they are, and then American Alpha comes out.
I'd love that.
It would be perfect
for
them. George says that news breaks Mike's heart. Oh, Mike, wherever you may be, his heart's broken because Kurt Angle won't be in the WWE that soon. So,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the underlying mess is there, but I would like to think that they'd put their differences aside, you know.
Well,
I mean, if a freaking Ultimate Warrior can come back, they can bring Kurt Angle back.
That's true. You know, Austin and WWE had the worst fallout ever.
Yeah.
But they also had a middleman in JR that was working on with both sides,
right,
to bring him back in. And I don't know if they have that with somebody like Kurt Angle. They don't have that middleman guy.
Nah.
Just like they don't have that middleman with CM Punk to bring him back either.
They didn't have anybody with CM Punk.
Yeah, well, I think it's just so that guy burns many bridges, which he did an interview with Colin Cowherd,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was today, and he said WWE treats their wrestlers like indentured servants.
Well, the whole thing with WWE is you're not an employee. You're a contracted talent. You don't get insurance. You don't get 401k. You don't get anything. You are contracted talent, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Even Bruno, he is contracted talent. He's not a WWE employee. The only official WWE employees are those that work in Titan Towers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the vice presidents and the marketing directors and
Kevin fucking
Dunn. You
know. It's so funny.
All of the every time you say that name, I think I see your head turn around 360 degrees.
Oh, George brings up something interesting. Word is WWE now considers itself to be on good terms with Hulk Hogan again and is looking for the right opportunity to slowly reintroduce him on the product.
I saw that report today too.
If they can,
I also saw a report from Kayfabe News that said Hulk Hogan mistakenly sues Gawker instead of Gooker.
Yeah, I did see that. I did see that. I don't know. If that bridge can be rebuilt too, then
I'd love to see Hogan back on TV again.
Yeah.
He wouldn't. I mean, he wouldn't do much. You know, he'd come out. And he can't drop a leg anymore. He'll probably shatter into a million pieces drops a leg.
Doesn't he have a fake hip now anyway?
Yeah, he's got a hip replacement and a knee replacement probably too.
Yeah, so who knows? I think the doors, hopefully down the road, the doors open, because I think Kurt Angle needs one final run in the WWE.
Yes, he does. He needs to, and you know, if I were him, I would actually take any deal I could get, you know, at this point, because time's ticking for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's on the last leg, and he needs to get back and get his foot in the door there.
Yep. Let me see here. I'm trying to pull up this interview with what CM Punk did with Colin Cowherd, but of course, my Flash player's out of date, and I've got to install it. And yeah, it's like, yeah, you just.
Oh wait, hold on. I think I've got it here. I think I can pull it up here. Okay. UFC fighter CM Punk coming. Yep. On re-signing with WWE back in 2011. Back in, I want to say 2011, my contract was up and they were trying to re-sign me, and they were trying to re-sign me for lowball figures. Oh, come on.
It's what they do to the guys. They're indentured servants, he continued. They try to pay them the smallest amount of money you could possibly pay them. There's no health insurance. You're responsible for your own travel, your own hotels, your own food on the road, your home once a day, maybe. I did that 10 years to get to the WWE, and then I did it 10 years there, so my gas tank was empty in that regard.
See, in 2011, it was kind of hanging in the balance there, and I made the decision to re-sign. It's not that I regret that decision. It's just that I didn't if I didn't re-sign, I would have dedicated myself 100% to this. So I re-signed. That story unfolded. That chapter of my book's over, and now 100% dedicate myself to this now. I guess he's talking about MMA.
Mm-hmm.
It's just later than I anticipated, and it's a bigger challenge now because I'm older. On and him soiling the sanctity of MMA by not working his way up the rankings, there's something pure about it that nobody else outside that cage can touch. Do I think that I'm ruining the sport? No, absolutely not. Do I know that there are people that are going to say that? Yeah, absolutely. But I don't got to see them. I don't got to see them on a daily basis. And when I want to shut them off, I just don't read my Twitter.
George in the chat room, which you can join if you go whenever we usually record Tuesday, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Mixler, mixlr.com/oversellpodcast. George in the chat room asks, if you could only choose one for a WWE run to end their career, who would it be between Angle, Jeff Hardy, and Mysterio?
Angle.
Angle. I'm 100% Angle.
Almost like, you know, the first Hurricane Rana that Ray did, he'd probably shatter both knees.
Well, I got to say, he has returned to form in Lucha Underground, and George can back me up. I think he's been working rather well, and Lucha Underground has Ultima Lucha Dos coming up, and it's going to be so exciting. They got another Gift of the Gods title match coming, Pentagon Jr. versus Matanza for the Lucha Underground Championship. I think Hunter Cuerno is going to be taking on Mil Muertes. I mean, it is the ultimate lucha card. Let me see if I can pull it out. Ultimate.
CM Punk also lucha. Commented on if he would ever see him in professional wrestling again and said he wouldn't return to WWE, but shared the only way he might return to a wrestling ring. No, I don't think so, but it is one of those never-say-never things. I just like to cover all my bases, just so some internet dweeb isn't going to be like, you said you'd never wrestle again with WWE. No, absolutely not, but you never know. I could pop up here and there. Let me explain this to you even better. It's not going to be televised. It's going to be me in a ninja outfit wrestling one of my buddies, and nobody's ever going to know. It's going to be very Monty Python, so to speak.
So here's the card for next week's Lucha Underground, Ultima Lucha Dos. Dragon Azteca Jr. versus Prince Puma. I don't think that's right. No, that's just for the TV listings. Rey Mysterio versus Prince Puma.
Oh, wow.
That's going to be an awesome match. I mean, George said in the chat room, he's looking impressive, and he's putting guys over. So, you know, that's going to be a great match. And then you got a Gift of the Gods title match, Tiger Claw, Kill Shot. My current favorite guy in Lucha Underground that I love to watch more than anyone else, Marty the Moth Martinez, Sinestro de la Muerte, Daga, who seems to be getting kind of stalked by, George, help me on the chat room. Who's the one that's been kind of stalking Daga? Sexy Star, who is another superstar in Lucha Underground, and Mariposa, who is Marty the Moth Martinez's sister. And that Sexy Star and Mariposa had to be a tag team when they're matched together to get the medallion to be in this match. And in this match, Kill Shot. All right, so he was on the top rope. There was a guy he was standing on the apron with his arm stretched. Kill Shot jumps off him, or jumps onto him, then jumps off of him and does a moonsault.
Oh, wow.
It was the craziest damn thing. Cobra Moon, that's who. It's Cobra Moon is doing this thing where she's kind of stalking Daga in a kind of I want to do bad things to you.
I saw one that was Lethal, Jay Lethal, and he turned a Tiger Bomb from the second rope into a Hurricane Rana, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's like, damn.
Let me see if I can find this clip of these are the highlights from the most recent episode. Oh, and another, this jaguar looking dude. The women in Lucha Underground, they're allowed to be badasses. That's Daga taking on Margarita Sangrara, something like that. Can you see it?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's the first promo Prince Puma's cut in Lucha Underground. That match is going to be incredible. That is Lucha Underground on Sling TV on the El Rey Network. Sling TV is like $20 a month, and you get access to everything in the... Lucha Underground is the most fresh product wrestling-wise on the planet. Well, let's take a quick break.
Well, and I do have a thing, a report on WrestleZone that says top Lucha Underground star reportedly finished with the company. Is he headed
today
to WWE? And that is Prince Puma.
Right. Ricochet.
Ricochet, yeah.
I think his contract, there's still some language in his contract that would prevent him from going to the WWE. I would love to see it.
I don't see how a company could prevent somebody from going to the WWE. I really don't. You know, other than like exclusivity rights with TNA or something like that. I mean, like, I couldn't really see the company like Lucha Underground preventing somebody like Ricochet from going to WWE.
All you need is a good lawyer, man. Draw up a good contract.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to take a quick break. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Oversell Podcast. Dan, I wanted to go into, meant to pull this up while we were on break. CWC.
And you didn't. You're slacking, man. You're slacking.
Such a hack podcast host, man. Cruiserweight Classic participants. WWE Cruiserweight Classic participants. But before we get there, have you seen the participants they've gotten for the for PWG's Battle of Los Angeles tournament?
I know of Cody Rhodes, and that's about it right now at this point.
I'm going to name the folks I'm not too familiar with first, and then get to some other names. Trevor Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Dunne. Kamatachi.
That's probably all the PWG regulars.
Jack Gallagher, which I think I've heard Jack Gallagher's name. He's a really good worker. Now is where it gets really cool. Tommy End.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy Callahan, who was formerly in NXT as Solomon Crow. Mark Haskins. John Hennigan, or a.k.a. Johnny Mundo. Jeff Cobb, who was Matanza on Lucha Underground. Dalton Castle, who is in ROH. And he's the guy with the boys.
Yeah.
The Peacock. Cody Rhodes and Adam Cole.
Wow.
That's a hell of a roster for a tournament, man. Tommy End, which...
you got a lot of possibilities there.
I mean, it's going to be a great tournament. Johnny Mundo, I think, has really stepped his game up since the WWE let him go. And, of course, you know, Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, I think, is, you know, taking a deep breath and really going to enjoy this indie run he's about to do. He's
going
to be going to Evolve in Joppa, Maryland. Here
he's having fun. He's having fun. He's in it for the fun, you know. And I believe him when he says he's not in it for the money. I believe every word he says when he says he's not in it for the money.
Yep.
You know, I believe he's just – he's got a bucket list, and he's going to hit that bucket list.
Yep. Like I said, I love Johnny Mundo now that he's not in the WWE. Dalton Castle is a hell of a worker and is probably one of the best stars in Ring of Honor. Of course, you got Adam Cole who will be representing the Bullet Club. I mean, then – man, that's a hell of a roster for that. And that's going to be take place September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, 2016, out in Reseda, California, the PWG Battle of Los Angeles Tournament. If you can't see it, I think you may – I don't know. I hear the customer service for PWG is not that great, so when you order DVDs, it takes a good bit to get them in. But it's totally worth it when you get to watch the shows. Let's move on to the WWE Cruiserweight Classic participants. Before we get to the participants, did you see who's going to be – hosting and calling the matches?
I did, but I forgot.
Mauro Ranallo.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan.
Yes. Yes, Daniel Bryan. Yes.
That is, I love that combination. I think that's going to bring, you know, that just it gets you even more hype for the matches because you know you're going to
I love Mauro's voice.
Mauro has a good voice, and he's also, I don't know, he's very JR-ish when it comes to his reactions.
Yeah.
So... here is the roster for the Cruiserweight Classic that's going to be starting, I believe, next week or week after. I think July 13th starts the day. July 13th.
Yeah.
Kota Ibushi. Awesome.
Nice.
Grand Metalik. Tajiri.
Nah.
I'm excited to see. Zack Sabre Jr.
There you go.
Noam Dar. Cedric Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Clement Petiel.
They got some guys from across the pond too.
Yep. Fabian Aichner, Harv Sira, Gerv Sira. I think they are brothers. I would hope so if they have the same last name like that. TJ Perkins, Rich Swann, Drew Gulak. Drew Gulak is awesome. I've been working Evolve.
Mm-hmm.
The Brian Kendrick, Akira Tozawa. That's one of Shaggy's favorites. Ho Ho Lun. Anthony Bennett, Tyson Dux, Lince Dorado, Sean Maluta, excuse me, Raul Mendoza, Kenneth Johnson, Alejandro Says, Damian Slater, Jason Lee, Aria Davari, which is, do you remember Davari?
Sean Davari, yeah.
This is his brother.
Okay.
DeMac, Johnny Gargano, NXT mainstay, Tommaso Ciampa, Zumbi, Jack Gallagher, who's also going to be in Battle of Los Angeles, and Tony Nese. And, I mean, that's... I'm excited for this. I cannot wait to watch this.
I'm excited for these guys. This is a great opportunity for everybody on that card, you know, and in the tournament. It's a great opportunity for them to showcase and, you know, get a look, you know, at what WWE is like and, you know. What they're capable of.
Okay, so
and for WWE to get a look at them and see what they're capable of.
I mean, the talent is there.
Yeah.
And guys in the chat room, give me yours as well. Dan, who do you think who's going to be your final four?
I'd have to say. I'd have to look at it again.
Okay. Just let me know if you need me to scroll down.
I'm thinking of Bushi.
Okay. Which he's in my final four as well.
Thinking Zack Sabre Jr.
Okay, he's in my final four as well.
That's probably going to be in everybody's final four. I would like to think that they would put Brian Kendrick or Tajiri into the final four. You know, I would like to think that, you know. Maybe just as kind of like a standing thing where, you know, they know there's at least one person that everybody knows in the final four, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'll put a rotating spot there for Kendrick or Tajiri there in the final four.
So you're going to say either one of those?
Either one of those two would probably be in the final four. Is Rich Swann the... That says United States. That's not the Rich Swann I'm thinking about. Because I want to say I saw a Rich Swann wrestling a tag team on NXT like a week or two ago, but I forgot. I forgot what the guy's name was, so it might be the guy that I'm thinking about. Man, fourth one's hard on me. Go ahead. Go ahead with your four.
Okay. Well, I did say I think the no brainers are Kota Ibushi and Zack Sabre Jr. I think the other two are going to be NXT mainstays, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. So my final four are going to be Ibushi, Sabre Jr., Gargano, Ciampa.
I'd like to see a no name. Ciampa and Gargano will probably make it into the quarterfinals, but not the semifinals.
George in the chat room says, Ibushi, Sabre Jr., Swan, and Gargano. Swan is the only participant under contract, so he's in. So maybe that was Rich Swan you saw.
Maybe that was. I'll go with Rich Swan in the final four there.
You've got Ibushi, Sabre, either Tajiri or Brian Kendrick, and Rich Swan.
Yeah.
It's a very eclectic final four.
Yeah.
But, hey, it's going to be.
Yeah. They got to book it like, you know, they've got to have one participant that everybody knows. Make it at least into the semifinals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And past the semifinals, you won't see those guys.
You see what Paul Heyman said about the brand split?
No.
Wherever Brock Lesnar goes, he goes.
Yeah.
So, little quick news and notes there.
I wonder if they'd put him on SmackDown just to get the ratings up.
I wish he would write for SmackDown again. You know, give him because when
Heyman.
Yeah, when he was writing for SmackDown, it was a pretty successful brand.
I tell you what, that was like the freaking like moment. One of the moments of my life was cutting a promo in front of Paul Heyman and having him tell me there was nothing wrong with my promo.
I can imagine. Other than that, can you tell us anything else about that?
It was the time I got the tryout. You know, other times I've just worked as extra talent backstage as a security guard or you know whatever. The guy fleeing for his life in front of a semi truck that Big Show was cruising through backstage with. They bring you into a room and there's probably about four or five people in there that you know. Brooklyn Brawler was in there with me. William Regal, a guy that is a direct contact to Triple H was in there.
Mm-hmm.
There was those three guys and Paul Heyman was kind of sitting in the back and he was watching me on the monitor. Because it kind of had like a little table set up and everything, and the monitor was kind of back in the back. And, I kind of almost didn't even realize Paul was there until somebody mentioned his name. And he kind of stuck his head over the table and everything. And I was like, oh, he's here.
Did you get to shake his hand or anything?
Like, holy shit.
Did you get to shake his hand or anything?
Yeah. I got to shake his hand, it was cool. You know, I shook everybody's hand at the end, trying to be professional and everything, which you should always do,
Just going through some news and notes here. I'm on NoDQ.com. Former TNA and Lucha Underground wrestler Sean Hernandez was involved in a brawl with a wrestler at a Texas Indie show last night. It wasn't a work. Hernandez has a reputation among the Texas Indies as being an asshole and bully, and he kicked in the indie wrestler, which prompted him to punch Hernandez a few times.
Yes.
Oh, Lordy.
That was 100% real. My news feed has been blowing up with that for a week now. And Byron Wilcott, he owns and operates Main Event Wrestling in Texas. And that was his locker room that happened in. And he's one of the coolest guys you'll ever meet in the wrestling business. He's a former NXT talent. I forgot what his name in NXT was, but it was long. It may have been FCW when he was there. You know, it was long before NXT really got started. I think that he was there.
Mike
McEnroe. Like Lance McEnroe or something like I want to say that was close to what his name was. McEnroe, Lennox McEnroe, mm-hmm. I think is what his name was. And he was in FCW, but he had a neck injury and wound up getting released as soon as he was healed up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bum deal on it, but, you know, he made the best of it. You know, he started his own wrestling company, and like I said, one of the coolest guys I've ever met. You know, in the wrestling business. He came to this area, wrestled for us in West Memphis a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. You know, my my family affectionately called him Glitter Britches because his tights were so, like, I think they were sparkly or something. They had some, like, sparkly stuff on there. But, you know, I thought that was kind of funny because it was like every time I start talking about Byron to one of my family members, they're like, you mean Glitter Britches? But that happened in his locker room, and he's been putting Hernandez on full blast on Facebook saying Hernandez was a bully and he deserved every bit of what he got out of the dude that he kicked.
Michael Cole mentioned on this week's episode of WWE Raw that once the brand extension takes place, the people in charge of Raw and SmackDown would be referred to as COOs, or Chief Operating Officers. While Shane McMahon and Stephanie McMahon have been arguing over who will run each show, there's been no word on what the internal plan is. Also, it looks like they are going to have their own heavyweight title for it on Raw, that Dean Ambrose has been referred to as WWE Champion rather than WWE World Heavyweight Champion. There are also changes made on his graphics. This could indicate that WWE has plans for two major titles. I'm fine with that. I don't want, if that's the case, I don't want any crossover between any of the two shows.
Don't bring back Big Gold. Have a title.
So you don't want the old WCW belt back?
I saw that they redid the Winged Eagle belt into a WWE-style thing. That would be an awesome title.
I would love
to
see the Wing belt title.
I would love to see the Winged Eagle belt come back, you know. You know, that I don't bring back Big Gold. Don't bring back, you know, the world heavyweight title that Ric Flair carried around. Don't bring that title back.
Really?
You know, make it original. I want to see a new title belt. I want to see, you know, and if it's a new title design or whatever, so be it. Just please don't make it the same WWE emblem in a different color. You know? Because it's just not going to make – it's just going to get confusing overall, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to see it in a different style, though, you know.
Let me pull up the – I want to pull up – talk to you about this pay-per-view schedule coming up.
I'd love to see it like – I'd love to see TV titles and stuff like that.
I would love to see
back.
A TV title come back.
You know,
a lot of people
think that convolutes things, you know, but it doesn't. You know, if you can have a title match every week – for a TV title, that's something to watch,
mm-hmm.
You know? And, I mean, that they could make that their flip-flop title, you know? You exclusively have a TV title that you defend on TV every week, and, you know, that you get back to the old-school way of things, and you've got, like, 15, 20-minute draws, you know? You've got 15 or 20 minutes worth of TV time to mess with, and you can have draws, you can have, you know, count-outs, you can have all kinds of stuff happening, you know? And, I mean, it'd just be, you know, you could have people hang on to the title forever, or you could have it flip-flop all over the place and just, you know, make it a crazy title change every now and then, you know?
I agree.
And I still miss the hardcore title.
Yeah, I don't miss the hardcore. It wouldn't work in today's WWE.
It wouldn't work, but I miss the segments it had, you know?
I do miss the
Crash Holly getting chased through the Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, and going through the little zip line thing and that little – yeah, that was pretty funny. I like the one guy that got a pin while Crash was sleeping or something.
Yes, he just, yes. One finger he's on him, and yeah. Have you seen the DDT Pro stuff that Joey Ryan's been posting?
No.
Where the DDT Pro title that he has, I guess, is getting – it's changing hands and different stuff and – I think there was one where Colt Cabana won it from Scott Hall because he signed like a contract that said he submitted the title.
All right.
And then there was another one where there was a female wrestler and a cat was on top of her, and the referee came out of nowhere and counted the girl's shoulders down, and the cat was the champion.
Will, I don't know how they're going to treat the tag titles. I don't know. I think if maybe your tag team champions will be they'll just have one set of tag team champions and they'll be on both shows. I think, because I actually think they're also going to be doing that with the women as well.
I'd love to see a women's tag title.
That'd be cool. So let's check this out. PWI Insiders confirmed that report at Sky Italy is now also showing the same pay-per-view schedule through the end of 2016. So the rest of the year post-Battleground looks like this. SummerSlam, August 21st in Brooklyn, both brands. Backlash. They're bringing it back. Backlash. September SmackDown event / WWE Network exclusive. This is an interesting one.
Backlash is a SmackDown pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Okay.
Clash of the Champions
is a Raw pay-per-view.
It's going to be a Raw event September 25th. WWE No Mercy, they're bringing back No Mercy.
Wow.
That will be a SmackDown event. Hell in a Cell will be a Raw event October 30th. Survivor Series, both brands.
So the Big Four will probably still stay both brands.
WWE TLC will be a SmackDown event, and WWE Roadblock will be a Raw event.
Okay.
So that's looking – there's shows right back to back to back. I kind of feel for our friend Downtown Bruno.
Yeah.
He's going to be traveling a bunch, and I'm sure he loves this brand split, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Poor Bruno, man. We love you out there. Tatum says, bring back Unforgiven. Thankfully, no return of Cyber Tuesday, says George.
Cyber Tuesday. Golly. That's bringing back some memories.
I would like, I want Elimination Chamber to come back at some point.
I want War Games.
Well,
fuck Elimination Chamber. War Games, we've done Elimination Chamber to death. I want some fucking War Games up in this bitch.
War Games is never going to happen because Vince McMahon didn't create it and he doesn't see the allure in it.
He didn't create Clash of Champions either.
That's different. It's not a whole match style or a whole match. It's just
whatever.
Yeah. So,
War Games.
Let me get the old book out here.
Yeah,
it's time
get
for,
the old book out there.
Let me cue up some music here because I'm always prepared, you know? Always prepared.
Always prepared, yeah.
I'm going to go
You're
ahead
like
and
the
find
Boy Scout.
A...
So we got Wildfire Wrestling coming up.
Yep. Fourth of July.
Fourth of July. That's the 16th or the 26th. I forgot.
Fourth of July is July 21st.
21st, okay.
Yes, I know that date now because the next day I'll be a father.
Aha. Atta boy.
Yep. Little baby Jack will be here. Let's see. While I'm getting the Memphis Wrestling together moment, you guys can go ahead and start thinking about those superstars of the week.
Superstars of the week. The old USWA theme.
George asks, can War Games work in the PG era? That's another thing. I don't think it would work in the PG era.
Friggin' Ambrose Asylum match. Come on.
And there wasn't any blood in it until
no.
Jericho went into thumbtacks, and that didn't work, I don't think. What's today's date?
He had what, like 70 thumbtacks in his back? Ugh.
Yeah. What's today's date?
Today is June
28th. Okay, here's one from June 27th. Jarrett Wrestling Company presents Wrestling Monday, June 27th, 8 p.m. at the Mid-South Coliseum. Southern Tag Team title match, Tommy Rich and Tommy Gilbert versus Phil Hickerson and Dennis Condrey.
Tommy Rich and Doug Gilbert took on Lawler.
Lawler
and Dundee at that Night in the Slammer.
Yeah, the aptly named.
Aptly named.
Hickerson and Condrey will leave town if they don't regain the belts. You also had Ken Dillinger versus Sylvester. Can't read that name. Sylvester Ritter. The Exterminators versus Bald Eagle and Jim Garvin. Bill Dundee versus Leroy Brown. $1,000 challenge. Brown must pin Dundee twice in 15 minutes. Paul Orndorff. It's a double main event. The Southern Heavyweight Championship match. Paul Orndorff versus Radamus. Radamius? You remember that name? It's 77, so I doubt you would remember that name.
I don't think. That was before I was born.
And then Jerry Lawler versus Rocky Johnson. I guess that would be for, what the title? It says it's belt on top of 10-foot pole, but it doesn't list what belt it is. And it says Paul Orndorff was a champion, and Radamus was a challenger.
Maybe it says it in the results.
Paul Orndorff was the NWA Southern Heavyweight Champion.
Oh, nice.
So I think Lawler would have just been the... I think the music's over with. I don't want to replay that. Oh, hold on. There we go. Orndorff defends title. Paul Orndorff defeated Radamius to retain his NWA Southern Heavyweight title. In the main event match last night before a crowd of 6,731 people at the Mid-South Coliseum. In other matches, Phil Hickerson and Dennis Condrey won the NWA Southern Tag Team Championship with a win over Tommy Rich and Tommy Gilbert. Jerry Lawler beat Rocky Johnson. Sylvester Ritter defeated Ken Dillinger. Bill Dundee beat Leroy Brown. Bobby Bold Eagle and Jimmy Garvin drew with the Exterminators. And George looked this up. Sylvester Ritter? When I mentioned his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
He ended up going by a different name later in his wrestling career.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Junkyard Dog.
There you go.
You ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah. It kept sounding familiar to me, you know. Yeah, Sylvester Ritter, Junkyard Dog, rest in peace.
Yeah, I miss the old dog. I mean, he was, you know, there's nothing like Memphis professional wrestling at the Coliseum.
Nothing like it. 6,000 people.
Yep. Well, I can't think of anything else to talk about for this week. So, as we like to end every episode,
that'd be a great way to end the show. I can't think of anything else.
Well, as we like to end every episode, we like to do Superstar of the Week. So, Dan, I ask you, who is your
Superstar of the Week?
My Superstar of the Week. Tell you what, give me a second.
Okay.
Go ahead with yours. And
well, I'm not ready for mine yet.
Okay.
I'm never ready for mine
you
yet.
You hit me too.
Let's see. Superstar of the week.
Oh, by the way, Byron Wilcott also goes by Big Daddy Yum Yum. So for those of you that have never seen it before, there's a Botchamania video of how to sell like Big Daddy Yum Yum, and he's getting chopped over and over again in Japan. And his arms are just waving wildly in the air as he's getting chopped like 100 times, and it's absolutely hysterical.
George called it out, man. He said his current ring name is Big Daddy Yum Yum. Superstar of the Week. Who do I want to give my Superstar of the Week to? Oh, man, I'm drawing a blank. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Let me see here. I'll tell you what. My Superstar of the Week is Brent McKenzie from Main Event Wrestling.
Okay.
In Texas. That's the gentleman who stood up to Sean Hernandez.
George says his Superstar of the Week is Jericho for that amazing interview with Nancy Benoit's sister on his podcast.
I read some of that. That was really
need to listen to
cool.
It. It's a good interview. I've started it. I haven't finished it yet. Will, you got a Superstar of the Week if you're still out there. I'm still thinking of mine.
They're going crazy. I'm sorry, I'm on Byron Wilcott's Facebook page right now. He's posted a bunch of stuff about, you know, it looks like Byron was facing Brent, and that was the only reason that he actually got a cut, because I think Byron like laid in a punch accidentally or something. But they're sitting there saying over and over again with all these photos of Brent, you know, what black eye? I don't have a black eye. Sean Hernandez says I got a black eye.
Well, that's funny. That's funny.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man. I still can't think of a dang superstar of the week. AJ Styles, because he got his own Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey this past week on Raw. And he got to do a two-sweet with Jameis Winston. There you go. AJ Styles. And another superstar of the week, Jameis Winston, for getting to go to Raw and meet some of the wrestlers.
Here's another one of Brent McKenzie, and he's smiling. He's got a cigar hanging out of his mouth, and says, "That face you make when you triple your booking fee after kicking Sean Hernandez's ass." I mean, there's stuff like that. I mean, like, they can't go through a day without posting at least three memes about this. It's been absolutely hysterical.
All right, well, we're going to get out of here this week. Be sure you follow us on Twitter at Oversell Podcast, Facebook.com/Oversell Podcast, OversellPodcast.com, and check out the Amazon link. Thank you to Blog Talk Radio, our host. The easiest way to get to this password is head over to iTunes, subscribe there. While you're there, leave us a 5-star review. That's how we get better rated in iTunes and more people can see our podcast. Other than that, that's it for this week. You've been listening to the Oversell Podcast.